Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hi, I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of Scale Up Consulting and author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe understanding the intricacies of regulation can give you an edge in a crowded market. And here to chat with me today is Thomas. Thomas is the founder and CEO of Burfin Advisory out in Germany. He's also held senior positions at some really impressive companies, the likes of Accenture, N26, and also Deutsche Bank. So super excited to have you on the show today, Thomas. Welcome.
Thank you, Richard. Happy to be here.
Brilliant. And folks, as always, I like giving everyone a bird's eye view as to what we're going to be diving in today. Obviously, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, it's going to have a twinge of regulation to it. And a while back, both the fintechs and financial institutions were at odds. But right now, I think it's fair to say they are cozying up to one another. The arrangement, you know, in all honesty, suits both sides, right? On one hand, the banks and credit unions, etc., get access to innovative technology they don't have to develop in-house. And we all know the pains of dev in-house in large institutions. And on the other hand, fintechs get a ready-made audience of customers to use their products and services. But it's not all roses, right? With regulation given, or regulators giving extra scrutiny to these new innovative tech companies and the bank partners and banking partners at the same time, there needs to be extra due diligence, extra caution when it comes to being compliant with regulations, both new and also old. And with that in mind, I reached out to Thomas and I wanted to chat with him and I wanted to bring him on the show and dive into this topic because I think it's a topic that needs its own airtime. And, you know, to bring Thomas into the show right now, I think let's start at, let's open the can and let's dive right in, I think. And let's start at this. I mean, it'd be good to get your view, Thomas, on why you think regulation is so important for fintechs, not only to understand, but also to really be, you know, leading on certain areas.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, also what you mentioned before, I think it was a very good intro to sort of set the scene. From my point of view, regulation, I mean, A is mandatory, right? It's not optional. You need to do it. And for most fintechs, especially challenger banks, crypto exchanges, it has become a make or break for sustainable growth. Because if you don't follow regulation, if you don't apply regulation correctly, you will get into trouble, you will get into issues, and you will not be able to grow as you want to. At the same time, it's also part of your business model because it has to be. Regulation gives you guidance and how to treat with situations that are not pleasant. So regulation is not made to tell you like, hey, this is how you have to grow, but rather tells you what happens if your growth goes bad. What if there's an issue? What if there is an incident happening? How should you deal with it? It's about resiliency and about management of the risk. And that's, I think, super important because what we have seen is that a lot of fintechs, especially challenger banks, have been broken in the last years and their long-term sustainability with fines, but especially operational constraints. Just to put it in perspective, the majority of fintechs that I have worked with in the past years and also like now in my advisory business have been in the hypergrowth of scaling up their capacity. So when I look at financial crime, which is my primary topic, staffing in those areas have increased year to year from 200 to 600%. And those are incredible costs. In some fintechs, compliance teams, AFC teams, are now larger than your customer service teams and your business teams because you haven't kept up with regulation and you haven't kept up with the right requirements. So that's, I think, the key part.
Just quickly jumping in there, I mean, because those, mm-hmm. those are some pretty big stats. I mean, not keeping up with regulation. And I think it's a case of also making certain that, you know, even if you're starting out, you're midway through your journey and also, you know, you're going into that hyper growth stage, you're not just keeping up, you need to be at the forefront of that regulation, even getting into the industry bodies and, you know, driving change through ideation, through collaboration. And that then allows you as a business owner or as a company to, in a way, I don't want to say control, but be part of the solution, not playing catch up, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, if you look at this point of view, I've been working with a lot of crypto exchanges in the past who have been able, because they have been outrunning regulations so far with what they're doing from a technology perspective, that they have been able to steer regulation. I think that's super important when you're in this position where you become a super good player, that you are steering regulation the way that you want it to. And you need to have these good government relationships, these good public relationships. Otherwise, you're not going to get the stuff you want to have in regulation, and you will be bound to rules that don't make sense and that just constrain your business growth heavily.
The folks out there that, you know, I mean, maybe starting that journey or sort of midway through the journey, what are the forums that you can get involved in to be part of the steering of regulation? I mean, I know obviously there's various regulations for various topics, etc. But at the highest level, where would you start, and how would you then dig down into making certain that your specific niche you obviously are part of or leading the mantra?
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is that, I mean, it's not, fintechs are not new. So this has been a trend that has been going for the last 10 years. So you do have groups that are representing your interests. There are associations like the EFA, like Bitkom in Germany is very strong. And they have a very good ear to the regulators. At the same time, what we have done in the past, when I was in 26, we actually went directly to the regulator. We talked to them. We said like, hey, we want to explain to you what we're doing and want to work together to see how we can solve these issues or these problems or these regulation gaps that we have, and to build something together. I think, and this is what I've realized also, like working with the different clients, I always tell them, you need to just talk to the regulator. Yeah. They're not afraid of you. You shouldn't be afraid of them. They can be your friend, or like not maybe the friend, but like a guided colleague in that sense. Mm. And you can work together to find the best solution for you. That's possible. And you should do that. You should take advantage of that and talk to them as much as possible, because the worst thing that you can happen with is that if the regulators don't know you, that's the worst thing. They need to know you.
Yeah, exactly. And part of why regulation is important for fintechs, and I think you touched on some of these, but you know, it's making certain you as a company, you are able to establish trust in a market, right? Because if you're compliant, if you're part of the ecosystem, you're coming up with ideas, you're part of different forms, people are going to start trusting you, start trusting your voice. Also, it creates a level playing field. There's a lot of things going on out there, but you know, in all honesty, we want to have fair competition, and regulation is part of that, creating that playing field that allows people to compete on the right field. And I think you definitely touched on this earlier on. It also helps you scale, right? It does help you scale. You just have to invest in that world earlier rather than later, right?
I mean, that's a good point that you made also on the growth and the level playing field. I mean, I come from a financial crime perspective, so I always look at customers that are bad, basically. And there are companies, obviously, that have chosen to not go into regulated spaces because they are saying, we want to have the full opportunity on what everybody that we want to. Criminals, we don't care. And so by choosing regulation, you're actually also saying, okay, we want to have a sustainable customer base. We want to have good customers. We want to have customers that we can grow with that will be outlasting those models that do not want regulation. And it's a very, very good key also for investors, for raising money. Also, it's super, super important.
I like it. And, you know, what are some of the, if we dig down into some of the regs that, you know, the fintechs out there need to be considering, what are the top, maybe 3, 4, 5 regs that you need to be aware of in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, if you're aware of, obviously, you need to maybe invest in. Big question, because, you know, there's a lot of different regulations. I know there's AML and KYC, et cetera. There's PSD2 regulation. But, you know, what do you think from your experience are some of the big regs that need to be considered?
always it depends on where you're located, right? Regulation is always local. There is European law that you need to apply to. So PSD2 is a good example, which is super, super important. I would always say what companies are not regarding as well is IT. IT regulation is super, super important. In Germany, you get VIT, which is key actually to building a really sustainable IT platform. But the focus is AML and KYC. So the AML regulation, if it's the European guidelines or if it's a local law, is the most important thing. This has also been noted by various regulators. So I've been working on licensing actually for people to operate in these countries. The regulator always says you need to have AML KYC ready. You need to know what you want to do to 100%. You need to understand the regulation 100%. So if I'm a business and I want to grow somewhere, I understand AML KYC because it's always local, it's very specific, and it's actually a lot of work that is required to make it happen.
And I like what you're saying about IT, because you know there's stuff around cyber that you need to be aware of. There's stuff around I think it's infrastructure guys out there and girls out there. You know, don't shoot me down for this, but there's sort of the ISO certs that you need to pass and you need to be very aware of. And there's also, whether it's IT or not, but it is data related. So I'm going to sort of chuck it into that bucket, the GDPR. And all of this stuff is a cost. And it's a cost that, it's an operational cost that you have to take on. It's nothing, you can't simply ignore it. You've got to understand it. You've got to be at the forefront of it and you've got to be implementing. And then in all honesty, you know, clients actually ask for it. You know, I've been in clients and, you know, when you start playing with the bigger guys out there and they, you know, maybe an AML provider as an example, and they start asking questions, one of the first questions is show us your ISO certs. Right? And they go, okay, well, we actually don't have that. And then all of a sudden it's a scramble. And the scramble means that you're going to be throwing money at a problem, which is not always the best solution. So, you know, the IT side of things is vital, right?
I mean, you mentioned them. I mean, the ISO certifications. I mean, there's a reason that the standard exists, because it gives a common understanding that they at least have these standards. Yeah. And I think especially for new companies that they don't know, companies that are not as established, it gives them a very good credibility and that they want to partner with them. Because as a fintech, you cannot operate alone. You always need partners. You always need bigger players to cooperate with. You need partnerships, you need bank accounts, you need this whole type of thing. Mm-hmm. And having this kind of foundation gives you a cutting edge there. And to just say, I mean, IT is super, super important because it also gives the auditors and the regulator that regulates you the right understanding of your business and also the trust in you that you can do it. Because if you are saying you're cloud-based, that's cool. But if you're saying you're cloud-based outside of the European Union as a European company, that doesn't work. So you need to have this right approach and have this also written down. And this, I think, is super, super important because otherwise you're not going to be trustworthy in the market.
That is important. I mean, and how would it play out in your sort of experience? You know, if you are, you're inside the European Union. I mean, I'm sort of going into data here, guys, but you know, bear with us. You're inside the European Union. You've got IT out in inverted commas, maybe out in Asia. I was going to say the Ukraine there for a second, but I'll sort of move past that. But you got IT out in Asia. You got clients out in the US. There's a lot to take in when it comes to data and how you can transfer it, how you can move it, how you can actually use it. There's a lot of walls and a lot of barriers to go through. I mean, in your experience, what is the, I don't want to say the best approach because that's a big question. What is an approach that you think is the most practical way to look at this type of situation, this type of challenge?
A very good point. I mean, and this is what I always recommend, is I would always go with the simplest solution, especially in the beginning. There might be cost advantages of doing things in Asia or like another third country or so, but try to stay in the European Union. This is the key. There are enough good countries here. And if you go outside the European Union, make sure that what you're outsourcing in that sense is not material and that the material data collection, data storing remains in the European Union. There is ways with the cloud providers that are most known, AWS, Google, and things like this. They all have abilities in Europe, in Luxembourg or so. Take advantage of that. If the staff that is working on it is not based in the European Union, that is not the largest issue, but it also depends on the regulator. So for example, in Germany, maybe not in the beginning, I would not recommend it because it just gives you unwanted pressure and attention from the regulator that you want to avoid in the beginning.
Yeah, no, some sage advice there, some great, like really great points. And, you know, regulators, are, in all honesty, they're part of the ecosystem. We've mentioned already, you know, if you partner up with them, if you talk to them, you know, they listen, and that you can ideate and you can work together to sort of create ultimately a better financial ecosystem. And that's sort of what we're all after, right? And, you know, how do you think regulation can help future-proof fintechs going forward?
A very good question. I mean, so the regulation, you know, in my opinion, is maybe not the most effective way to future-proof a business, because yeah. regulation always catches up with innovation, and as a fintech and as a, you're innovating, right? But I think, as we discussed before numerous times already, it gives you a baseline, it gives you a guideline, and it leads you to focus on three questions, essentially, mm-hmm. right? So for me, it's who's your customer, what is your risk, and what are your processes? And these three questions are what makes your business future-proof, because mm-hmm. if you answer these three questions, you'll be basically going to be future-proof, because you know, okay, where do I need to invest? Because these are my customers that I want to have. What are the risks? So what do I need to avoid to invest money in? Mm-hmm. And then lastly, you know, processes are the key, because this is how you can scale. Because if you think about, okay, I have 100,000 customers and I have 10 employees for it, and if I have 1 million, you have 100 customers or so, 100 employees, it makes it very difficult to scale effectively. As a fintech, you want to scale from 10 to 15 with a tenfold of customers. So this is, I think, the key in why processes are so important to make it future-proof.
No, I think those are some great points. And, you know, some of the other things I've been sort of mulling over in my head is, I do believe that, and I take your point, and I value your opinion, but, you know, looking at this sort of landscape, I think compliance obviously is, if you want to expand internationally, you have to be compliant. You have to be with inside a regulated framework if your world plays on this field. So the sooner you do it, the sooner you invest in it, the quicker you're going to go up in numbers, to your point, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're going out and, you know, looking at different international areas, and, you know, you are really sort of in line with all the regs, you're going to be able to obviously acquire new licenses a bit quicker than if you aren't, because they're going to ask you these questions. Here's the list. Do you have this stuff? Okay, actually, no, we don't. Okay, it's going to take a 6-month project to implement X or Y. It does sort of, in a way, future-proof you to be compliant, because it allows you to start doing things a bit quicker. And, you know, you're also able to support a good user experience, right? You're able to, you get out there, make certain that you guys or your business is up to scratch with every type of regulation that it needs to be up with. And all of a sudden, the user experience is increased. The people on the other side of the line are actually talking about you in the market, and actually good things happen. And, you know, on the counter side, I've seen, you know, some fintechs into big shops, right? And mm-hmm. they don't have these things, and they build while they sort of build, in a way. And it becomes a bit of an issue, because there's a lot of bad press that goes on at senior positions in the client as to why these folks just aren't up to scratch. And I think future proofing is really, you know, really looking at and understanding what you need to do from a reg perspective, and, you know, going off and executing. And then on the flip side, once you do it, some of these teething problems, when maybe you enter into different markets or bigger clients, you can sort of avoid to a certain extent. I mean, I'd love to get your take on that philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you mentioned in the beginning with being compliant, and that's, for me, you know, one of the key areas. But what I also mentioned, you know, knowing your customer, knowing your risk, and knowing this whole thing, because being compliant does not equate to being future proof. Being compliant. Yeah, yeah. So I've worked with a lot of people who basically, they do the application process, they produce this like super nice document, 50, 60 pages, like policy framework, 100 of pages, but they actually, in the backside, in the operational side, they don't actually live that. They don't have the sustainability in their infrastructure. So mm-hmm. they have all these nice policies, but they don't equate to anything in the background. So what for me is always mm-hmm. a key part is, don't focus on producing like this much paperwork. Don't waste money on that. It's important, but at the same time, focus on making things right on the operational side, because you can have the best policy, but if your processes still equate with, I don't know, sending a fax to somebody or like writing down a piece of paper things or so, that does not scale. Like I've been with so many clients that, especially in the back office task, they have no automation. You know, they have the fanciest data enrichment software for marketing, but then on the back end side, they still work with calling the people. They still don't have AI working, their machine learning, all these type of nice things. And having not that in place, so just being compliant does not mean you will grow effectively. On the contrary.
Yeah, I like it. And that's a brilliant takeaway, a brilliant sum up. Because I've also seen it, right? You have these reams and reams of documents saying that you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. But then Jill Blogs on the front end or on the back end does something totally different because, you know, they've had a bad day or something's happened, right? So yeah, operational performance and operational automation is critical. I mean, totally in sync with that. And sort of as we come towards the end of the first part of the podcast, and what's some practical tips or practical advice you'd like to leave our guests with when it comes to making certain that they are using compliance for the right things? And when I say the right things, building a business, making a better ecosystem, et cetera. What are the things that you think fintech founders and leaders out there should be considering?
So three things. I mean, maybe the most successful challenger neobank right now is Revolut, probably. And what Revolut has done different is to invest a lot in the infrastructure. So the back office processes and all this kind of thing. And I think this is a key. So invest into your back office tools, into back office structures. Build a case management system so you can understand what happens on the backside. That's my first one. The second one is take data serious. And use data. I've seen so many companies that produce so much good data, but they don't use it. And don't think about just the negative data. Just like people are now concerned about, okay, this is a bad customer, we don't want them. But rather also establish what is a good customer for you. You know, build a data model that equates risk, but also opportunity. And the third one is structure data. So it's again a data topic, but my point is this, is take the data that you have and structure it so you can use it for the compliance topics. Really build something around it that you can build a model. Everybody speaks about machine learning and this type of thing, but nobody does the first step, which is to structure your data, understanding in what categories it comes, and building a sustainable model around it. If you don't do this, you will come into issues. I can guarantee that.
Okay, I love it. Those are some brilliant takeaways there, folks.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
Now we enter into the flash round. Okay, drums. Okay, here it is. The flash round, as you all know, listeners out there, is some more fun at the end of the show. So what it is, I ask Thomas three questions, sort of yes or no answers, two or three questions, yes or no answers. And then I give the mic to Thomas and he's allowed to ask me one. That's the way it goes. Those are the rules. And let's kick it off. So my first question to you is, should founders, leaders out there be thinking of regulation first or innovation first?
Innovation. Okay. Innovation by far. Because like if you don't innovate, regulations are going to be there. So do innovation first and then worry about regulation.
Yeah, like it. Okay. Should you be thinking about policy and processes day in, day out, or execution and automation?
Execution, automation. All the way.
Is it too easy, man? Okay, Karen, why?
No, I feel like execution automation is, you can build the process around it. And especially in the beginning, you're not going to have this large team that needs processes. The processes become relevant when you scale in people, because then you need to apply the knowledge, the expert knowledge that you've built to other people. And that's going to be the difficult part. And that's when you need processes. But first, build the execution automation so you have something you can build a process around. It doesn't make sense to draw a process if you have nothing.
Yeah, like it. Okay, so here we go. Last one. What's more important, knowing your client or knowing your ecosystem that you operate in?
I think so. That's not
a trick question. You can say both, Rich. And
I would say know your client, because if you're good and you have a good idea what you want to do, you check the ecosystem anyways. But at some point, you need to also say, this is us and we're living in this ecosystem. But what for us is more important is what are the clients we're targeting? What do we want to get? Because you cannot be this universal player that's going to get every customer. You're not going to be this person that's going to be applying to every customer. Mm-hmm. Choose your customer, now know who you want to get. And then also when you're live and operating, fully understand who you get. Because I have seen so many, and this is more like my niche topic, terrorism financing, that have onboarded a terrorist organization or like, you know, extremist organization or so, and they don't know about it. And so know your client because it helps you in the long term. It doesn't matter if you know Coinbase and Revolut or so, they exist, they're great. Okay, good. Let's move on.
Yeah, love it. And, you know, just to add to that, I think there's only one business model out there that allows you to take in everyone. And that's like something called a utility. And what are utilities? Utilities are things like PCs, TVs, etc. You know, you can go out to everyone and everyone's going to want one of those. So the more you realize that you're not a utility and you have to zoom in, like Thomas is saying, the better it is for you and your business to go forward and obviously scale up. And now I'm going to give you the mic, my friend. And I'm sure I know you've been on holiday and you've been thinking, what should I ask Richard? Now's your chance.
Actually, yeah, I do have a question. It's basically a summary of what we have discussed today. So, I mean, you have worked with numerous startup fintechs and so on. You've been in ecosystem. You've worked with clients. What is your opinion on the attention that this topic has, you know, especially compliance, financial crime? Do you think this has become more serious for them and more attentive? Or do you still think this is the topic that they have to learn about and be educated on?
Let me put it this way. Since 2008, you know, there's a lot of attention on compliance and regulation. And it obviously started in the bigger banks and bigger players, etc. And over the years, what I've found is that there is very good tension at a senior level to how the market moves. And when I mean that, I mean what regulation they need to consider in order to do things that they want to do, right? So I found that the analytical skills of leaders that are building companies and are, you know, expanding, have the know-how has increased tremendously, hugely, from you say 10 or 12 years ago to today. I mean, I can walk into, I think, any CEO's office and we could have a chat on, you know, MiFID, KYC, AML, whatever it is. They will know. They might not know the detail, but they'll know whether it impacts their business or not. So I think that level of knowledge has gone up. I still think that there's most probably some more investment required upfront to understanding what parts of your business do you need to invest and do you need to be part of a regulation. That sometimes seems to come as a surprise for whatever reason. So I think there's that type of scenario that I see quite, not quite frequently, less frequently now, but I used to see. But the more upfront investments in understanding your ecosystem, especially from a reg perspective, the better chance you have of not chucking money at an elephant in the room, right? And actually zoning in on an area that is really important to you guys, and then obviously making certain that you execute over the back of that. And so that's what I see, and that's, I guess, sort of my view on things.
Cool, yeah. I mean, I think with traditional banks, I think that's especially true. I think that has become serious. I still think that, especially like if you're a new starter in that sense, that sometimes you underestimate the pressure that regulation has. I think there's still their education needed, but otherwise, yeah, makes sense.
No, I definitely think there's definitely still some education you need. And it's zoning in on those, understanding that ecosystem and then really zoning in, right? But there's more attention required at an earlier stage. I 100% agree with you. But the knowledge of senior leaders out there has increased a lot. They also need to, as you and I mentioned here, need to look at the beginning of the journey and go, okay, what is this ecosystem? What regs are we impacted by? Is it ISO? Is it GDPR? Is it everything? And how we let's figure out that roadmap. When we're going to do things, how are we going to do it? What's it going to cost? Who are we going to engage with? Do we have the expertise in house, et cetera, et cetera? And that type of thinking, I definitely think needs to evolve, just as you're saying. Okay, my friend, awesome to have you on the show today. As always, I ask guests to give some details as to how listeners out there can get in touch if they want to get in touch.
Yes, if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on LinkedIn. under Thomas Ball. I'm ready to talk to you about any questions you have for financial crime, compliance, and any other sort of topic, and also share some war stories that I mentioned in brief today. And thank you, Richard, for hosting me today. It was great. And I hope it was an interesting conversation also for the listeners. And yeah, have a good day, I would say.
Brilliant. And folks, looking forward to catching up with you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.